Okay, Sif Sechen Hakdama Dalit. Bin Pesach Latzeres. Okay, we'll get to the Lag BaOmer stuff probably tomorrow. But let's, I know you're eager to get there. No? That's the part you wanted to get to. Okay. Hayamim Shabin Pesach Latzeres Nikram Yimei Din. The days between Pesach and Shavuos are days of Din. Vehimam Yuchadim Lishpot Vela Anosh Asanashamos Begehenim. And this is the time of the year that neshamos are being judged in Gehenim. Kedei lezachacham uletaram meavonoseim. Okay, so what exactly does that mean? So if you look in Os Aleph, he quotes to us a very interesting Mishnah. Mishnah Mesachas Edios in the second parak has a list of things that take place over the course of 12 months. And one of the things that takes place over the course of 12 months is that a neshama of a rasha is judged in Gehenna for 12 months. That explains the practice as to why we don't say Kaddish for the full year, we say Kaddish for 11 months, as a way of expressing a hope, maybe a tefillah of sorts, and a confidence that hopefully our relative who we're saying Kaddish for doesn't need a full 12 months to be judged because they're not a Rasha. Okay, so it says the Mishnah in Edios, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Mishpat Rasham b'Gehenim Shneim Asar Chodesh. Rabbi Akiva says that the neshama of a rasha is judging Hannah for 12 months. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer mina Pesach vi'ara hatzeres. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says from Pesach to Shavuos. What does that mean? Shebechol shana bein Pesach latzeres nifkad avonam. That every year in these days between Pesach and Hatzeres, that's a time where Hashem collects whatever a person owes in terms of paying off their averus. And it's alluded to in the pasuk. What does that pasuk in Yeshaya mean? What's a lomar? The zman hishtachavayasa shal hanefesh yiyeh kechalos zman hakosuv mishabbos haShabbos. That the soul will be able to present itself before Hashem after it pays off its debts between Shabbos and Shabbos. What does it mean between Shabbos and Shabbos? V'zemi Pesach v'aretzeres. Pesach is called Shabbos, and Shavuos is called Shabbos. Sheshneim nikram Shabbos. Tichsiv u'svartem lachem mimachas haShabbos. We start counting Svira after Shabbos, which means after the Leil HaSeder, the second day of Pesach. And we count until what? Ad mimachas haShabbos haShvius. We count until the end of, obviously, Pasha Pshat, 7 weeks. But the Kajug lover, the Eretz Tzvi, he writes in the brackets here, understood this to mean a reference to Shavuos, also being called Shabbos. So we have a Shabbos that starts and a Shabbos that ends. And the Kajug lover explained that that's perhaps what the Gemara means in Maseches Shabbos and Kafir Ches, when the Gemara says if the Jewish people would just keep two Shabbosos, then the Geula would come. What are the two Shabbosos that we're trying to keep? He explains, Hainu. If we would behave properly during Sfiras HaOmer, between the Shabbos of Pesach and the Shabbos of Shavuos, then Mashiach would arrive. If we would perfect the various character traits that we're working on, the seven midos, these are days that are particularly fit for this. If we would act the way Jews should act, Derech Eretz, character development precedes Kabbalah Satorah, Ozmiyad Hayu Negalim. Of course, that's why we study Pirkei Avos during these days. Right? Pirkei Avos is the development of a person's character. Now again, it's a little unclear what this Mishnah means. Are they disagreeing? When Rabbi Akiva says 12 months, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says between Pesach and Shavuos, does that mean Hashem only punishes between Pesach and Shavuos, and let's say a person has to pay off, I don't know, 8 months. So Hashem will collect 49 days every time we get between Pesach and Shavuos, or is the entire period of the judgment in Gehenna 49 days? So if you look at the top of the left column, he quotes from the Bartanura's commentary on Pirkei on this Mishnah in Edios. V'hine Rav Avadia Bartanura, Reish Ayin Bez. Rav Avadia Bartanura explains, the Mishpat HaGehenim hu mem tes yom. That the entire stay of a person in Gehenna is 49 days. Kemis for hayam shabein Pesach latzaris. Okay, it's a big kula. You only have to go to Gehenna for 49 days. It shouldn't be a cooler for us. Like, should be like, okay, so like, it's not so bad. You know, I'll do. So chas v'sham, we shouldn't make light. You can only imagine what 49 days in Gehenna is like. Ulam, kam v'farshim savri, didayka b'zeh hazman, shal yimei hasfira, hu ha-mishpat. V'kabala haisa b'yadam kach, v'kray asmachta ba'almaho. But there are those who said that, well, no, it means that the days of judgment, Hashem only carries out the judgment between Pesach and Atzeres. So again, is it a question in terms of, is it the number of days that one is, that a Rasha goes to Gehenna for? Or is it the time period in which he's going to be punished? But either way, this reflects, for us, it reflects the fact that Sefiras HaOmer is a time of Din. It is Zman of Din. Okay? He then continues, he says, maybe there's no machlokas furthermore, because it could be there's a difference between a Rasha and a Beinoni. He writes, he says, Risham Yud Beis Chodesh, Beinonim B'Yemei HaSfira. Interesting. Right? Mishpat Risham B'Gehenim, a Rasha goes to Gehenim for 12 months, but a Beinoni only goes B'Yemei HaSfira. Pirshu Mefarshim, Demar Amar Chad, Umar Amar Chad, V'lo Pligi. It could be that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri were arguing, and the Mishnah are not actually arguing. Rabbi Akiva medaber min neshamos harishon, shemekavlim onesh yud beis chodesh. Rabbi Akiva is talking about wicked people who get 12 months. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is speaking about the neshamos of Beinonim, hamekavlim onchem rak mem tes yamim. But a Beinoni only needs 49 days to pay off his debts. Okay. Yeah.
Only 12 months for a rush?
Yeah.
I mean,
deep cleaning. Hashem gets it over with quickly.
And then?
And then the neshama goes to a good place.
Really? So you can be like the worst person, you go 12 months,
yeah.
And then you go to the lampa?
That's what it sounds like. Pasuk says, Lo yidach mimenu nidach, which means that no one will be cast aside.
This is
right. Right? That even one who was wicked, Hashem will find a way to be metak in his soul.
But I guess like, even 1 minute of suffering, they gain out.
It's hard to know because time also operates differently in a world beyond this world, right? Meaning, time as we understand time is different than the way Hashem understands time. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. David HaMelech says that 1,000, what is it? Right? 1,000 years in this world is like a single day in the next world. So we have to figure out what that means. 49 days. Right, might be a lot longer. They talk about, the Arizal talks about certain neshamos which are very
Yashka.
Difficult, right? Like the neshama of Yashka. The neshama of Jesus requires, he's Jewish, requires a lot of tikkun, right? So he talks about many, many cycles of years until it's able to get its tikkun. Lavan, there's certain neshamos which are sometimes connected, that require tremendous cleansing. So again, I'm not sure. I don't really know how any of this works. But it's a good question. Yeah. What else?
A person that is not Shomer Shabbat can go to Yolam Haba?
Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah. Why were they not?
Because it says that if you don't keep Shabbat,
again, because they chose not to. They never learned about it.
Probably.
I don't know. No. Listen, there's Gilgulim. Hashem sends you back. He'll get it right the next time. Again, I'm not making light of these things, but Hashem's ability to help us work out our lives eventually, whether it's through suffering in this world or in a world beyond this world, or whether it's the cleansing of the neshama or the suffering of the guf, Hashem finds a way to that no one should be cast astray. So... But you're right, on a simple level, there are certain averos that are more problematic than others. Right? Chafetz Chaim compares the different mitzvahs to different body parts. So God forbid, if a person lost an arm or a leg, you could live, as tragic as that would be. But if you lost your head, it would be a little difficult to live. So the Chafetz Chaim says certain mitzvahs are like the head. The Shabbos is the head. You can't live without a head. Right? No one would want to live without a finger either. But a person can live like that. Right? There's certain mitzvahs that correspond to vital organs. So Shabbos is a vital organ, the Chafetz Chaim says. In the Hakdama to the Mishnah Berurah Chelek Gimel. Okay, so we have to make sure we strengthen those vital organs. But yeah, there's a way, Hashem has a way of helping us, whether we like it or not, eventually doing tshuva. Srat Hashem. Okay, let's go back to the main text. Uvayam halalu huzman gidol hatvua lefichu pesach nidor nalatvua. We know that these are days when the grain is growing. At Pesach, we are judged on tvua, on grain. Hua parnasa, that's a reference, of course, to parnasa, right? Our produce. Shehem tzarchav hagashmiyim shel adam. This refers to the physical needs of a person. And when you come to Shavuos, we're being judged, according to the Mishnah, we're being judged on peiros ha'ilan, fruit of the tree, which is not a reference to physical sustenance, but spiritual sustenance. Heman Hashamos. Tzarchav haruchniyim shel adam. This refers to the spiritual sustenance of a person. That's why Rav Baruch of Mezhbuz used to say, I'm more afraid of Shavuos than I am of Rosh Hashanah. I'm more afraid of Shavuos than Rosh Hashanah because if Rosh Hashanah goes bad, he said this about Rosh Hashanah, he said, if Rosh Hashanah goes bad, okay, so it's one more loaf of bread, one less loaf of bread. He said, but if Shavuos goes bad, that is a hashpan my neshama. That is a hashpan my ruchnius. So there's more room to be afraid of. There's more room to be afraid of Shavuos than there is to be afraid of Rosh Hashanah. But the truth is, bechlal, this whole period in many ways is a stricter judgment than Shavuos than Rosh Hashanah itself. If you look in the right hand column where he quotes the Imre Pinchas in the second line, Rav Pinchas Koritzer. Rav Pinchas Koritzer explained, "Demashini donan be Pesach la'atzeres hu yoser mi Rosh Hashanah." The judgment that takes place during these days is actually more than Rosh Hashanah. Ela shebekan mitzad hachasadim uv Rosh Hashanah mitzad hagvuros. There's a perception that Rosh Hashanah is heavier because Rosh Hashanah is a judgment that comes from a place of gvura. Here, the judgment itself is be'etzem stronger, but it's mitzad hachasadim, so somehow that softens the din. Again, exactly what that means and how that works, he goes on to explain very Kabbalistically, not for now. But we have to realize these are serious days. Again, I come back to what Rav Baruch of Mezhbuz said. I'm more afraid of Shavuos than Rosh Hashanah, because if Shavuos goes wrong, if Rosh Hashanah goes bad, so okay, so I'll instead of eating gourmet meals, I'll eat simple meals. But I can't be mevater on one bit of what I could get out of Shavuos. And that's why the tzaddikim, you know, when they davened for Torah, they were davening for a whole, this is the Rosh Hashanah for Ruchnias. Right? So we're working our way up to the Rosh Hashanah for Ruchnias of Shavuos. Ubeintayim nitzrach rachamim, back to the text, Ubeintayim nitzrach rachamim, sheyigdlu hatvua betov, and we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mercy that the produce should grow properly. Lachei nechshav kol hatakufa shebein pesach la'atzeres kimeidin. Why are these days of Midas Adin? So if I were to ask you, stop you in the street and say, what happened during Sfiras Omer that it's a time of din? You would say, the students of Rabbi Akiva passed away. That's part of it. And it's a significant part of it. But especially since we don't live, at least, again, on a day-to-day basis as individuals in an agricultural society, we don't realize how dependent we are upon the grain and the crops. Right? We live with an abundance where you walk into a supermarket and there's always stuff on the shelves. Until there's, God forbid, a shortage, and then people very quickly understand what a bracha it is to have these things. So what makes this Yemei Din? Part of the reason to Yemei Din is because people are just nervous about Parnassah. If you look in Ozebeis in the left-hand column, Yemei Din al Atua, he quotes a Chok Yaakov, who brings from the Avudraham, Rav David Avudraham, one of the later Rishonim, Tam Sheini Lama Yemei HaSvira Heim Yemei Adin. He brings another reason why Svira is Yemei Din. Mipnei sha'olam bitzar mi pesach ad shvuas al atvuas v'alilanos. The world is nervous. It's a time where people are stressed out. You thought it was just finals. People are stressed out. What happens if the crop doesn't grow? What happens if the fruits don't produce? So because there's a certain trepidation, anxiety during these days, right, things are just a little bit more serious. And again, whatever's happening in the physical world is a reflection of what's happening in the spiritual world. The bottom line is, for us, we need to realize these are days where Hashem is paying attention to us, and we need to try. We need to try the best we can to live in an elevated way. V'lachein, bottom line on the middle text, V'lachein tzrichim lizar b'yoser b'yamim halalu le'esrachek afilu minchet kal. So these are high-stake days. We need to try to distance ourselves even from the slightest of error. Rak lahoysef ometz betara v'tikun hamaisim, to try to improve our purity and our good deeds, to be people who do good actions. Now again, why are we have this notion by Sfira, right? Because the pasuk says so, that like it's a very all or nothing kind of time. Even though we don't really believe that as Jews. The whole question again, is it 49 mitzvahs? Is it one long mitzvah? Clearly there's this notion of what? Sheva Shabbosos Tumimos. That there's supposed to be a continuity to these mitzvahs. Now if you remember, we learned how Sfira Sa'omer, the 7 weeks, correspond to the 7 days that a woman prepares herself before going to the mikvah. And that's why I told you that the tefillah, going to the mikvah, Shavuos morning, is seen as maybe the highest mikvah going of the year. Because if we don't go to the mikvah Shavuos morning, it's like preparing for going to the mikvah for one's wedding day, and then the woman didn't go to the mikvah. It's kind of silly to prepare all this time to not go to the mikvah and to not be permitted to her husband. So that's why it's an important thing to try to go to the mikvah Shavuos morning. But again, if we use that model of what? Of a woman counting 7 clean days, it has to be 7 straight clean days. What happens if a woman, after she gets her period, and now she sees that she stopped bleeding and she starts to count the 7 clean days, and all of a sudden she sees a spot of blood? So what happens? You're back to square one. The whole process starts over. You need 7 straight days. So the same thing is true as much as we can when it comes to what? Tikkun HaMidos, Tikkun HaMaisim, Tara, Tara Sanefesh, we're also looking for what? For straight days. And that's why there's this notion, you know, you can get out in Sfiras HaOmer. Even though it seems very anti-Jewish, this notion you can get out in Sfiras HaOmer. Someone told me a very good vart. Someone told me that he was thinking, you know, again, it doesn't make sense that you can get out during Sfira. Right? Again, it goes against everything we believe. Sheva yipol tzaddik v'kam, 7 weeks. So we fall 7 times, we get back up. What's this idea that you miss a night, you're out? You're out? Try again. Pick yourself up. So he said the following. What happens when you miss counting Sfira at night? What's the halacha? Then count the next day without a bracha. How does a person feel when they miss at night and they count the next day without a bracha? Right? You feel like a loser. You feel like, you know, this is not the real thing. Okay, I'm still, you know, I can get back in the next night, but you feel, right, you feel like this isn't really it. When a person counts by day without a bracha, they're back in the next night. They can continue counting with a bracha that night. That's the halacha. If they miss a night and the following subsequent day, then they're out as far as counting with a bracha. So someone in my community said, he thought you could say, that what makes a person get out, so to speak? You're only out if you don't think it's worth counting by day without a bracha. Yeah? So you miss that night. So you feel like, whatever, like I missed. So like it's not worth counting by day. That's not the real thing. If you choose to miss like that, if you say it's not worth it to do whatever you can, that little bit that you can, then you're mamash out. Then you're hoitzias atzam in a klal. Right? A Jew has to realize you're not really out. If you miss at night, you're still in. I lost the bracha. It's true. In a chanami, the fact that you missed at night matters. But a Jew still always has an opportunity to pick himself back up. But if you say that, no, if it was only... I have a certain image of how it's supposed to be. I want to count at night with a bracha, the right way. And if I miss that, then, you know, it's like not worth counting by day. Then you're by night. Then you're knocked out. So it's only a person who chooses to not think it's worth it to count by day, such a person is actually out. His mom is out. Okay, but the goal is to have a sense of tmimus. So he writes in Os Gimel, in the right-hand column, Yimei tshuva v'tikon ha-maisen, besifse maharash. Who's the Maharash? Rav Shmuel Engel. Rav Shmuel Engel was a chassid of the Divrei Chaim. He was a big gaon, mamish a big gaon, wrote in a lot of different areas of Torah. He has a volume on Torah and Mo'adim. He passed away in 1935. So the Maharash says the following. He says, Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos Tiyena, Eimasai Hein Tamimos, Bizman Sha'osan Ritzono Shomakom. When are they Tamimos? Right? The Gemara says, when you do the Ratzon of Hashem, what does that mean? Dikamo b'soferes zayin nun imrasa tes dalid. Anyone? Dikamo b'soferes zayin nun. Like a woman who's counting zayin nun. Shiva nekiyim. Zayin nekiyim. Imrasa tes dalid. Tipas dam, very good. If she sees tipas dam kechardal, That's the Gemara's expression. If she sees the smallest drop of blood, the size of a mustard seed, it's a chardal. So Saras Hakol, she could be on day 6. She could already, you know, she could already booked her, called the mikvah and booked the time to go to the mikvah. And now she has to say to her husband, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do. We have to start again. Okay, it happens sometimes. Hachanami, right? So Saras Hakol, it cancels everything that the Tara that she's achieved. You need 7 straight days. Hachanami tzarach shekol yimei asvira lo yifkamu b'shum chet. So the same thing is true spiritually as we prepare ourselves over the course of these 7 weeks. We want to make sure that the days are what? As consistent as possible. Ki b'zman shasvira meramiz legarish shizkoach hatumma shenidbak v'hem b'yosem Mitzrayim. Because the days of Sfira are a cleansing process. Tzarach shelo yeh b'hem shum pagam. We want to make sure that there's no pagam. Ki pagam katan soser haminyan. Because even a small miss breaks the minyan again. 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, that is not a proper minyan. You miss 3. You need to have you need to have that continuity. So to afchid kal shelo haya mazik kol kach b'zman acher. So what would be considered a relatively small avera at a different time becomes more costly during this time. Afilu hachi b'mei asvira mazik ki al kopanim osa pirud, because it causes a break in the tmimos. It breaks the consistency. Shelo yihya chashiv tmimos. It's not considered straight. It's not considered complete. Kamo shuriya pamachas b'mei svira so seris b'mei svira hachinami b'mei svira saomer tzrichan lekadish letar afilu michet kal shlo yisaser asvira. So you don't want to break the flow. Okay, let's keep going. Back to the main text. Uveze yuvan lama shalta midas adin nora kol kach. So now, with this idea of tamimos, with this idea of a woman preparing herself for her wedding, right? I mean, that's something you're going to take pretty seriously. So now we understand that this is a zman of din. Maybe the entire period of judgment in Gehenna is based on Sfiras HaOmer. It takes place during Sfiras HaOmer. It's between these two Shabbosos of Pesach and Shavuos. So now we understand, how could Talmidei Rabbi Akiva be punished so severely? What did they do that was so bad? Right? And the answer is, hold on. Bavakama daf nun, right? That tzaddikim are judged kechot asara, meaning a tzaddik in general is held to a higher standard, and Hashem looks more cautiously, more precisely at a person. And all the more so, if you do it at a time of Hashem paying close attention in general, it's mamish, 2 strikes against you. So you have the great, they're such great talmidim, how could such a thing happen? Exactly. They were so great that they were judged so precisely, and a dafka was during this tkufas hashana, when Hashem is judging more precisely, because we want to have perfection during these days, tmimus, not complete, perfect. So therefore, now we understand, right? It's one of the hardest questions about the death of Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. How could such a punishment be? Lama shalt amidas adin noira kol kach v'chaf dalet elef Talmidei Rabbi Akiva ashalo nagu kavod zeh zeh. They didn't treat each other with respect, so therefore what? Such a chorban? Ki diktiku im atzadikim akadoshim halalu afilu kuchot hasar. Yes, that these were tzadikim. They're judged precisely, as all tzadikim are. And again, dafka during these days. Okay, now let's just review for a second what happened to the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. So he quotes the Gemara. Let's look at the Gemara carefully for a second. And notice Dalid. The Gemara in Yevam is Samach Beis. 12,000 zugim Talmidim hayu lo Rabbi Akiva. Migivas ad Antipras. Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 students, 12,000 pairs, from Givas to Antipras. That's where they lived. V'kulan mesu b'perak echa. They all died during one period of time. Mipesach v'ad atzeres. Again, it does not say explicitly in the Gemara that they stopped dying on the 33rd of the Omer. It makes it sound like they died between Pesach and Shavuos. Why did they die? Mipnei shelo nagu kavod zeh lezeh. V'haya olam shamem, and the world was what? Was desolate. The loss of this yeshiva was the destruction of the world. Mamish tov avohu. Ad shabar Rabbi Akiva, etzar vasinu shabadarim, until Rabbi Akiva found some students down south, and he taught them, v'shan alahem, and who are these students? Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Lazar ben Shemua, Fehem Heim Hamidu Torah Osasha, and they established the Torah at that time. Yes.
So, what was the main problem among the Talmidim?
What was the main problem? Shalo Nahagu Kavod Zelazel. They did not treat each other with respect. What does that mean?
was respect more than we respect like Rav Chaim Kanievsky.
So let's see. Let's see the next paragraph, because it's going to tell us in what way they didn't respect each other. Tam Yisasam. Why did they die? And how did they die? Kosav HaMarsha Shlo Nagu Kavod Zeh L'Zeh. The Marsha explains, what does it mean they didn't treat each other with respect? V'lo Chash Kol Echad Mehem Al Kavod Torah Shal Chavero De'in Kavod El Torah. They didn't respect each other's Torah, because the ultimate kavod, the greatest source of true kavod, is Torah. Right? We give kavod to Torah. And it's a genuine type of kavod. You know that when you see an NBA player and you see people standing around, flocking around them, right? If you know, if you've ever been in the presence of a gadol b'Torah and you've ever seen what real kavod haTorah looks like, you understand it's categorically different. It's a different thing. Right? It's the most real kavod in the world. The kavod of Torah is a real thing. That's why we give kavod. There's halachos of giving kavod to Talmidei Chachamim. Right? Because they demand it, and they deserve it, and it's appropriate. And the greatest thing that the greatest honor for a person in this world is the Torah that he has. Not his money, not his wisdom, not his strength, not his jump shot. Yeah, the ikar is a person's Torah. That defines the essence of his soul. Kavod is sometimes synonymous with soul. V'lakach mesu b'midazu, kihi chayecha v'gomer. And therefore they died a terrible death because of this lack of kavod. Va'amru, shemesu b'misas askara. And how did they die? They died through a death called askara. De'efshar shekol echa diber lashon hara v'yimesaper b'gnus chavero. They died through askara, which is a very slow and painful constricting of the throat until a person suffocates to death. And the reason the throat's closed up is because they didn't use their kach hadibur properly. The breath within them, which is creating speech, was not being used properly. The Gemara says in Brachos and Daf Ches Amar Aleph, there are 903 ways to die. The best way to die is Neshika. The worst way to die is Askra. So imagine, 24,000 students died a painful death because of the Chet of Lashon Hara. So that also sheds a little bit of light on what's going on here. Lashon Hara is the biggest Aveira of all. The Talmud Yerushalmi says it's bigger than Avodah Zarah, it's bigger than Gilui Arayos, it's bigger than Shvichas Damim. Lashon Hara is the biggest avera of all. The Talmud Yerushalmi says in Peah, Talmud Torah keneged kulam. You know what else it says? Lashon Hara keneged kulam. It's the biggest avera of all. And it makes a lot of sense, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he was creating people, when Hashem made man, right? What did Hashem give us to distinguish us from animals? The Koach HaDibur. V'yipach b'apav nishmas chayim v'hi adam. The nefesh chaya. If you want to be an Adam, you have to understand nefesh chaya. And Rashi and Unkelish translate nefesh chaya as what? Ruach mamala, a speaking spirit. Speech is what makes us human, not animals. So, chaver, think about it. What do we learn from the Maharal? What was the Karban HaOmer and what was the Shtei HaLechem of Shavuos? The Karban HaOmer of Pesach is from what?
Barley,
which is animal food. The Shtei HaLechem of Shavuos is what?
Wheat,
which is people food. These are the days where a person becomes an Adam. Right? When we get to the 33rd day of the Omer, Rashbi, Nasa Adam, Nehmer Bavarecha, he teaches us what it means to be an Adam. I heard a beautiful pshat once from Rabbi Tzal Rudinsky from Mansi. He said, you know what the tikkun, you know how Rashbi is the tikkun for Talmid Rabbi Akiva? They didn't respect each other's Torah. Right? It was like every man for himself. Everyone wanted to be the best guy in the Beis Medrash. Rashbi had the biggest secrets of all, the deepest Torah in the world. And he was prepared to what? To give his life to give over that Torah. That's really what happened. He wanted to reveal these secrets, and Hashem said, on the day of your Misa, you can give them over to the world. It was Mesiras Nefesh Mamish for Yishum Baruch Chai to share Torah with others. He wanted to share his Torah. He wanted other people to have. He didn't want to be an elitist. He didn't want to keep the best Torah for himself. These Talmidim, everyone wanted to be the best guy in the Beis Medrash, so they didn't want to help their Chavrusas get too far ahead. Everyone wanted to be the best. Lo nagu kavod zeh l'zeh. Misafer b'gnus chavero. Yishum Baruch Chai said, I have things to share, and I'm going to share them. I have Torah to share. I'm going to use my mouth to reveal the deepest things that I've always known in my heart, but now I'm going to reveal them. Bepe mole. That's the tikkun for the Lashon Hara. Okay? Now, Velvel has this little kuntres that he got me a couple of years ago, and there's a moira dika remez in here. It's unbelievable. A little kuntres called Me'afar Kumi. On page 5, he doesn't quote anyone as saying this. He He quotes the Gemara in Yavamas, Samach Beis, we just learned, Mineshal Anagu Kavazelazah. He quotes the Marsha that they died of Askara because they spoke Lashon Hara. And then he's Megala, an unbelievable Remes. Now the truth is, this is not the first place. I have to give respect to a Chashva Balabas from Highland Park. Because the first time I heard this Remes, my friend Rabbi Sarah Malitsky called me, the assistant rabbi in the shul there, and he said he had to hear this Remes. He said one of my guys in shul was listening to a shiur on Sfiras HaOmer, and in the middle of the shiur, he was thinking about how the Talmid Rabbi Akiva used their speech in a destructive way, and he realized, he said, he just knew, it's like one of those moments like where you have the Remes before you have the Remes. He's like, I'm telling you, I know in the Gemara, it's Merames to this. So you check the Gematria, Mipnei Shalo Nagu Kavod Zelazeh. Mipnei, exactly the words of the Gemara. Mipnei Shalo Nagu Kavod Zelazeh is exactly Gematria Lashon Hara. 661. Sorry, Melissa told me this. And then, later that year, Vavel gave me this kuntras on page 5. Haremez Hanifla. You see? Haremez Hanifla. Mipnei Shalo, he brings it on his own. 661. Mipnei shalo nagu kavod zelazeh. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Right. So Valval had a good remez that ER in Miloy is also Gematria 661. Why Miloy? Miloy is a lot of ways to say it. It's very nice because the bulk of Svira is in ER. Also Tmimos, right? So Miloy is a concept of Tmimos. Esther, right? Esther fights against Haman, who the Gemara Megillah and Dafyut Gimel says was the greatest Baal Lashon Hara. So Esther is Gematria Lashon Hara. She's the Zel Umazeh of Haman. And the truth is, Pesach is a hemshech of Purim, and Sfira is a hemshech of Pesach, and Shavuos is a hemshech. So it's all one process, again, of becoming an Adam, and becoming an Adam means using your speech in the right way. And then you throw in all the other Torahs, we're not going to chazer now, but all the other Torahs about Pesach, a mouth that speaks, and how speech is so much Galus Hadibur, and Mitzrayim, and Geulas Hadibur. So all that has to do with what made this such a terrible failure. Right? Lashon Hara is always the worst. It's at a time when we're being judged extra cautiously. It's dafka bein Pesach la'atzaras. Yeah? It's tzaddikim, who are held more accountable than others, even for a pagam of dibur. Right? Tzaddik has a lot to do with his kocha dibur. Okay, so that's why they were punished so severely. Okay? Yeah?
Were you saying the Lashon Hara was dafka about, like, Kavod HaTorah?
That's what it says. So the Marsha says. They didn't respect the Torah. Too competitive in the base medrash. If you understand why it happened here and how it happened to these Jews and what the nature of it was, and again, it was in a different time period, right, with Jews who were not on such a high level, this, what was called insensitivity, might have been seen as a vibrant base medrash. You know, but for this, at this tekufa, it was seen as that chet kal, that pagam that was so sir the whole binyan. Everything came crashing down. Yes, Amram.
Is it true? I once heard that in the Gemara says that they died 12,000 chavrutot, and it doesn't say like 24,000.
Yeah, exactly. That's 12,000 chavrutot. Mm-hmm. 12,000 zugot, 12,000 pairs.
So it's because.
So, right, exactly. Okay, could be. Could say it like that also. Right, it doesn't mean that everyone disrespected everyone else. That'd be a lot. Right, could be that everyone thought their study partner was the best, and that was it, and everyone else in the base medrash is not worth my time.
But sometimes in history, like, for example, if the Beit HaMikdash is not built now, it's because it will be a
Sinat Chinam. Right.
What happened with the 24,000 tonnage? Like, do we have enough respect for each other now, or?
We're working on it. We don't have a base of Mikdash, which I guess the answer means there's more work to do. I don't know, we're not there yet. When we have a base of Mikdash, we'll know that we've been attacking. The Chet of Lashon Hara caused the destruction of the second base of Mikdash. So yeah, we're living the same reality that they're living, unfortunately. Okay? Fine, so that's why they were so strict. Okay, let's read the bottom. Let's read the bottom two lines of the page. Not the bottom section, but the bottom two lines of the left column. Hazman malamid musar haskel shelo lezalzel b'kavod chaveiro. So this is a very interesting part. B'sefer b'nayhu. Anyone know what that is? Sefer b'nayhu.
Yeah.
Benayahu, yeah, what is that? Yeah, it's the Ben Yishchai Sefer of Agarta. Okay, so the Ben Yishchai in his Agarta, he has Ben Yehoyada and Benayahu. The Svarim that he has on Agarta. He has a lot of Svarim on Agarta. But those are two that he has on Gemara. Okay, so turn the page. So in the Sefer Benayahu from the Ben Yishchai, Rav Yosef Chaim from Baghdad, he says, it's a beautiful vart. He says, "Kasav had the nachis tana debraisa lamdeinu shniftu mi pesach varatzares." Why do we care when they died? Why do you need to tell us when they died? What difference does it make when they died? Why do we need to know that? So now we sort of know the answer already, because it has something to do with mishpat rishon begehenim. Right? But stam, if I just read this gemara, I don't care where they live. They live from givas to antipras. They died at this period. I don't care. All I care about is the fact that what? That there was a terrible tragedy. I don't care when they died. It's so greatly overshadowed by the loss of the life. So afagav the yeshlo zat tam pashut. Obviously, there's a simple explanation for this. Kedil lelamed chaz azman haroi lis abel bo'aleim. Right? We need to know when to mourn them. When's the yahrzeit? Okay. Kasher asu be'emes chazal. Chazal, in fact, did. That they were koveya kama dvarim shal avelis bosom yam. That we have certain halachos that reflect these particular days. However, hine od nirali b'siyata d'shmaya, but I want to say further with the help of Hashem, shabal lahodi hazman hazeh shemesu bo, sheyesh lilmod mimenu musar haskel. There's an amazing musar we can learn from this. From the pattern of Pesach, Svira, Shavuos, we can learn about their mistake. Shelo lios sina v'kina bein zeh lezeh, v'lo yeh echad mezazel b'chavor chavero. How do we learn from the time period that they died how to respect one another? Gavaldi Gavar, look what he says. Kinei timtza b'leil yom tov shal Pesach, huzman gadlus l'mayla b'tachlis. Leil HaSeder is a time of what? Of tremendous gadlus hamochin. An explosion of Kedusha. It's a time of gadlus. L'mayla b'tachlis. It's an unbelievable time. V'achar kach b'yamei ha'omer is man katlus. And then we go into the days of the Omer, where what? Where we're trying to absorb again all of that Kedusha in very small pieces. It's man of katnus. V'achar kach la'at la'at, and then slowly, yachzu le'gadlus b'tachlis, we come back to the heights of godless. She'ya b'musaf shal yom tov chag ha'shuas, when we reach kind of the pinnacle. The musaf of the yom tov ha'shuas, when we're mamish in a place of godless again. So what's the pattern? Godless, katnus, godless, all side by side, all working together to achieve sort of this bigger goal. So if a gadol and a katan can work together in time, so why can't they work together in person, he says? If a time of godless can work with a time of katanus to achieve collective godless, why can't we do the same thing? Nimtzei satala made hagadol lo yigba liba a katan. We learn from here that a gadol should have respect for a katan. Ki efshar liyos, shezeh hagadol yeirid tekef madrega tachtona. Because a gadol sometimes becomes a katan. That's the whole vart. Pesach, we're all gedolim, and right after, we're all katanim. And then by Shavuos, hopefully, we're all back to being gedolim. So have respect for someone else. Yeah, al tibaz l'chol adam, like it says in Pirkei Avos. Respect every person. You don't know when a person's time is going to come. Like, the person you don't treat respectfully today is going to be your boss by next year. Who knows? You know, or the guy in the base medrash who seems like an amateur. Who knows? Maybe he'll take off in his learning. He'll be the Rosh Hashiva one day. You never know. So learn to respect the process of godless and katless. Okay? All right, we have a couple more minutes before mincha. Back to the middle of the page. We're going to get to a very deep idea right now. Uveyam ha'elu asar ligzos sar harosh, lefisha saros mayrin al dinim. We don't cut our hair during these days because hair represents midas adin. Typically, long hair is seen as a bad thing. If you look in the left side of the page, not the left column, but the left on page Ayin Gimel, and if you look in the right column, the paragraph that begins Upashtos, you see where he says Upashtos Yuvan Ha'inyan, Ki Hatam Sha'aser Legadol Seh Harosh. Typically, it's discouraged from growing long hair, as explains in Svarim HaKadoshim, in the Zohar, the Arizal, Mishum Shehasaros Hei Mimoisre Haguf Kamo Ha'arla Shetzricha Ketzoitz Mipnei Shehi Moisre Haguf. Just like the foreskin has to be removed, because it's seen as what? An excess of the body. So too hair is seen as something like arla, like the moser haguf. It comes from the excesses of the body, and therefore it's not necessary, and therefore we try to remove it. during Sfiras HaOmer, which is Yemei Din, so to highlight the fact that we're in a state of Avelus, to highlight and to remind us externally that this is a Zman of Din, we dafka allow the hair to grow. We don't cut the hair. Okay? So he says, back to the main text. Why do we allow the hair to grow? It's Moirin al Dinim, Kevin Shemiskabsim Behem, Mosros Lechus, Hayotzim in Adam. It comes from the excess liquid from man's body, right? The dead cells, it's a sweaty part of the body. And the chitzonim grab on to the excesses of the body, to the psolus of the body, to the secondary parts of the body. And therefore, when it's a time of din, we're forced to be hands off. Okay? Fine. And the reason that Midas Adin again is surely during these days, we've already explained previously. We needed to purify ourselves for 7 weeks, complete weeks. Od hapam kochos from the page hatuma lavo alayem kedimyon mi shenizgarish mimakom.
It's
like he says, like a person who goes back, right, to a bad place. Meaning we're going through Yetzias Mitzrayim year after year after year. So the question is, does it get easier with each passing year, or does it get harder with each passing year? Well, the pashtus from the Torah is that it gets harder. What I mean by the pashtus from the Torah tells us three times, don't go back to Mitzrayim. The Torah commands us, there's a prohibition to go and visit a place called Mitzrayim. Right? Whatever modern Mitzrayim would even look like or mean. It's usher to go back to Mitzrayim. Why is it so bad to go back to Mitzrayim? It's such a tumma there. Who knows that you're going to get out again? So therefore, every year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the one hand, the Torah commands us, don't go to Mitzrayim. On the other hand, Hashem throws us through this process of Yetzias Mitzrayim every year starting on Pesach again. Right? And therefore, as we're going through it year after year after year, again, it's mamasha, it's a battle, it's a struggle. This is Yerida Sadoros. If they were on the 49th level of Tumah, the Rechaim HaKadosh says we're on level 50 of Tumah. So who's to say, maybe we won't get out of Mitzrayim. So there's this battle, there's a struggle year after year to try to give birth to ourselves again and to come out of Mitzrayim. Okay, two final points before we have to stop for Mincha. If you look at Oz Zion on page Ayin Hay, he just says, and it's just an interesting pattern to think about. He says, just very quickly, he says, Pesach is Bechinas Ha'ibor. Pesach is like the pregnancy. He says in the left-hand column, the fifth line, Svira is the period of Yanika, after the baby is born, and now we're nursing from our mother, and hopefully getting bigger and stronger. And Shavuos, he says, is Mochin. Shavuos is when we start to have the intellectual ability to become a person that has some degree of independence, albeit a katan, right? But as opposed to the baby who's held in the mother's arms all day, in the father's arms, and is nursing from the mother, right? Now Shavuos, we start to come into our own. Okay? One last idea for today, which is very deep. Just go back one more time to page Ayin Beis. One more very deep idea on the 24,000 Talmidim. Why 24,000? Because that's how big his yeshiva was. I don't know. Says the Sif Seichen in the bottom right-hand corner on page Ayin Beis. Lama hayu chav dalet elef Talmidim. So he explains from the Arizal. Kasa b'shar kavanus. Hatam shemispar Talmidav hayu daika chav dalet elef. Why dafka 24,000? I mentioned this morning, it's connected to the 24,000 from Shevet Shimon, who died in the plague. But why 24,000? What's the secret of 24,000? So he explains, Lefi Shashem Elokim, the name Elokim, which is the name of Midas Adin, you see it? Page Ayin Beis? Yeah. Bottom right-hand corner. Yeah, right there. Lefi Shashem Elokim, God's name of judgment, Midas Adin, Yechola Litztarif, the kuf chaf tseirufim. Help me, what does that mean? You can rearrange the letters 120 different ways. You have five variables, aleph, lamed, hey, yod, and mem. So the way to cheshbon is 5 times 4 times 3 times 2 times 1. Right? That's how you know how many different patterns you can make. So 5 times 4 times 3 times 2 is 120. There's 120 codes, combinations you can make from these five letters of Elohim. Okay, so that's 120. So what? So now, if 120 combinations can be made from what? From these five letters. So how many combinations are going to start with an Aleph? Just divide it by 5. 120 divided by 5 is how much?
24.
So now, 120 combinations. Look what he writes. Kamo kol teva bas hayosios shechol and lasim en akuf chaf tevos. V'nimsa ki yesh bahem chaf dalet seirufim shemaschilim bos aleph. So 24 combinations will begin with the letter aleph. V'chaf dalet seirufim, and 24 combinations begin with the letter lamed. And 24 with each of the letters. V'elu ha-chaf dalet elef talmidim. So these 24 elef, these 24,000 students, chaf dalet elef students, kulam hayum v'chinas chaf dalet seirufim shel ha-alef shel Elokim. Told you it's deep. There's 24 combinations that start with aleph. So 24 aleph is similar to what? 24 elef. 24 elef. Elef is 1,000. Okay, umishum. He says three lines from the end. Umishum shemaschilim baos aleph nepach leelef ki aleph veelef hakol echad. Aleph and aleph are the same. Gamzulas zeh, but more than that, we could say, know the kishem Elokim b'miloi hayin b'ribuo. If you spell out the name Elokim, right, in riboy, using the letter hey for hey. So it looks like this. Kazeh, Aleph, Aleph Lamed, Aleph Lamed Hey, Aleph Lamed Hey and Yud, Aleph Lamed Hey and Yud and Mem is Gematria Aleph. If you spell out Elokim and Miloy like that, compounded on itself, the name Elokim is Gematria 1,000. So the idea of Chaf, Dalet, Aleph is very, very much connected to Midas Hadin. And therefore, he says it's not by chance, the Arizal explains this idea, that it was not by chance that 24,000 students died in this period of din, and they died because of the shlitas hadinim during these days. Okay, so tomorrow, Amir Tashem, maybe we'll find time to go weiter, and we'll find out how Lag BaOmer comes and breaks the turns the Elokim to a hamtakas hadinim of the shame of Lag BaOmer. All right, good start.